This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Is it possible that in a time like this, in a generation in which we're living, that it's possible that God can still raise spiritual men and women for God? And the answer to every single parent, every parent, dual parent in the house today, the answer to that is yes, God can still raise godly young men and women and men and women in today's generation. I began with sharing with you that in the Old Testament, when rebellion rose up in Israel, they had a very simple system of dealing with rebellion. They took the kid to the elders of the city, and they took the kid out to the outside the city gates, and they stoned him to death. So rebellion came up, we just stoned them. Thank God that is not the law today. That we don't have to stone our kids as the answer to rebellion. But God gives us His Word. It's a type, and God will give us a Word that we can put to death every uprising of rebellion in our generation by the Word of God. And God gave me, it was like six stones that the Lord gave me to heap on that spirit of rebellion for our generation, that a single mom or a married couple can just rise up and say, God, you have got the wherewithal and the means with which to put down any uprising of rebellion in our home. And when you have young people as well in the house, and many of us here today where we feel like this rebellion is rising up on the inside of us, that we can put that down by the Spirit and the power of God's Word. Now, some adults might say to me, as we read the scriptures that we took from 1 Samuel chapter 15, we know that rebellion is as witchcraft, and so we shared last on Tuesday night that with some adults, it might not be rebellion that they're dealing with. Well, I'm not a rebellious person. I'm an adult. I've gone through my rebellious years. But in Samuel, it tells us that as rebellion is as witchcraft, so stubbornness is as idolatry. And we began to find out that stubbornness is that next step to rebellion. That it can be, I deal with married couples all the time where there is the stubbornness to deal with the simple issues of life. And I deal with so many men who are so stubborn in their soul that they will not go and knock on the door and say to their wife, I am sorry. Or a wife is stubborn enough not to give in and just absolutely relentless because of a pain or a hurt. And that stubbornness is that next step to the seeds of rebellion in the heart. So I gave the first three, and we dealt with that in the times of rebellion when Joshua was being raised. Now Joshua came out of Egypt and God was taking him to the promised land. And this young man was in a generation of people who did not believe God. He was in the midst of a generation of people who rebelled and constantly rebelled against the word of the living God. But yet, we see the whole story of Joshua, who goes on to be a mighty leader in the land, as a forever story for us to know that in the midst of a rebellious generation, God can still raise up leaders for His own glory. And that God can raise up men and women with a mighty power of His Spirit to be great in the land. And so, we see that Joshua is being raised. And these are six situations in the book of Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers that you can look back over when the sermon is over. You can go back and read about it and see how God worked in the life of Joshua. The first one was in the contests of life. We know that Joshua was sent into a battle. So in the contests of life, be there for him. Moses, as a spiritual father raising a spiritual son in a rebellious generation, was there for that boy. He was just there. He was there praying. He was there interceding. And stone number one, if you want to put rebellion to death, then be there for these young people. We like to tell these young people that we care for them. And that if they get into situations, if they don't have parents or they're in a situation that they need help, there's always somebody here that can be for them. The second stone that we shared with you on Tuesday night was, in the worship of God, lead the way. Moses, in going up in the worship of God, went to the top of the mountain and he left many of the elders behind, 70 of them. But he took Joshua with him. And it's as you go farther with God, others will follow you. But it's those who draw back from going on with God in the very worship that others choose not to follow. And this is the thing that is rampant in so many homes today. People are not saying, God, take me farther with you. And that's the second thing. Then the third stone that we mentioned on Tuesday night was in moments of achievement. We know that the Bible tells us that Joshua's name was Oshea, which just simply means salvation. And it's literally the cry of parents who were in Egypt, and they just named their son when their son was born in the most trying of times. They named their son this name Oshea, which just means salvation. And they were simply saying, God, we need to be saved. Where are you? We need to be saved from the situation. That's what they named their son. But it is Moses, in times of achievement, who see this young man, Joshua, who goes out and he brings back a good report from going into the land, while 10 spies bring back an evil report. Joshua and Caleb come back with a good report. And so we see that Moses changes his name from Oshea to Jehoshua, or Joshua, which means God is our salvation. That God is able to save us. Then the most trying of times, your name will forever represent the power of Almighty God that He's able to deliver in the most difficult of times. Now, in all of these illustrations that I've been sharing with you, I was sharing stories about raising up my own son in our own household. And that was a trial beyond measure. I got to tell you that. And I'll share some more things with you today. But number four. So there's six stones, and the fourth area is in Exodus chapter 32. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses and Joshua were up on the mount. And this fourth area I want to begin today to deal with is in the area of moral confusion. As I mentioned to you, that we've got this movie that is out, Brokeback Mountain. In the area of moral confusion, help these young people by giving them discernment. And in Exodus chapter 32 verse 17, it says, and when Joshua heard the noise, and so they're coming down this mount, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people, they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. This is Moses. He's giving discernment to Joshua. He's coming down this mountain. And as they're coming down the mount, they hear this rumbling going on in the camp of Israel. And this noise is increasing, and so we see that Joshua says to Moses, well, there must be a war going on. There must be, the children of Israel must be fighting for the honor of God. And it's always in the heart of young people to believe the best in adults. It's always in their heart when they take a look at an adult, is that these adults are going to believe the best. Are they going to believe the best for these adults? That they're going to fight for the things of God. And so here's Joshua, and he's coming down the mountain. He says, must be a war. In his mind, he's probably thinking that while they've been up on the mount, a war has broken out, but there's Israel standing to fight. And Moses comes and he brings discernment, and he says, no, you've got to understand, this isn't the cry of mastery. This isn't some cry of people overcoming an enemy that's come into the camp. This isn't even the cry of them who have been overcome by an enemy. But this is the cry of people who have moved into immorality. This is a whole nation of people who have moved in that direction of immorality. It's the cry. And so many times our young people are finding it difficult to discern the cry of immorality in our generation. You know, the things that I was dealing with 18 years ago, my wife and I were talking about this for some time at Lent on these issues, and the things that we were dealing with 18 years ago, as we used to travel around the nation and around the world, we did thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles traveling all over the nation and to different parts around the world doing marriage seminars, just helping people stay together. That was the whole focus of our heart, is just sharing the Word of God, keeping people together. And the issues that we were dealing with at that particular point on sexual matters 18 years ago, that adults were facing in their marriages and the temptations that were coming to them, we are now dealing with those same issues in high school kids. In 18 years, the denigration of sexual matters that has become so rampant because we have been infiltrated in this world by things, by the media in such a bombardment that it is not hard for our young people to find what they believe to be right sexuality from the media. And it's this area of discernment that is so needed in our generation. That when these young people, we give them an offer all the time, is come speak to any one of the pastors and elders. And if you don't see it at home, hope to God you see it in the leadership. And I want to tell you today, I thank God with all of my heart. Every day of our lives, when my wife and I arrive in the morning and we have our devotions and we pray, we start praying from the leadership down. We always pray for our leadership. There's not a day that goes by that we do not lift Pastor David and Sister Gwen to the throne of God. Pastor Carl and Sister Teresa to the throne of God. Pastor Patrick and Rosa and Pastor William and Tressie. We lift them everyone by name before the living God. And you've got in each one of these families husbands who love their wives. Unheard of in the world today, where you've got so many leaders put together and each one of these husbands and elders love their wives. We've got to help our kids discern. It's so rampant. I'd love to go into some of the details, but I will not and cannot. But it's important that you as adults understand that in areas of morality, that maybe some of you need to know that the pornography that you sneak into your house when nobody else is there is destroying your home. Even though others may not see it, it's destroying you, sir. And there's these things that are coming into the house that need to be dealt with. So here comes Joshua down the mountain, and it is this man Moses who gives him discernment in areas of morality. That noise that you're hearing is not the noise of love. That's not the noise of purity. That's not the noise of people being righteous before God. That's the noise of immorality. And beloved, I want to tell you, I don't think that there's anything on television today worth watching. We don't even have one in our house. But I know when I talk to people, that there's nothing worth watching in this stuff. And they need to have this area of morality. I think of my daughter when she was going with this young man, and see, this is what I'm talking about, is that we don't have all the answers when this young man, handsome as can be, and this is the daughter that has my personality. She's the one that with tears running down her face will put a little bony finger in my face. And when I said to her, honey, I don't think that this is the guy for you. I just don't think it's right. And she would already had a fear in her heart that she wasn't going to get married. She was going to remain single for the rest of her life. And then she said to me, she put a finger in my face and she said, Daddy, if I remain an old maid, it's going to be your fault. And sometimes it's hard because you have to call the shots as they were. But this young kid came into our house and he was so handsome. He was a good, wasn't he, honey? Good looking guy. And But I got to tell you, every time I had this stepper with these two arms, and every morning I'd get up and go down there, and that's when I have my prayer time. I'd work out and just pray. But every time I'd begin praying for my daughter and this young man, there was something in my gut. I couldn't see it with the natural eye. Everything around this person looked just exactly how they should be. But there was something in my gut that the Holy Ghost stirred the waters up and said, keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on. And man, it didn't make for any peace in my household. We had World War III over and over again in her household. And then one day when she went to the young man and said, it's over and she's not going to go with him any longer. And then she told me, if I remain an old maid, it's going to be your fault. Beloved, to this day, I got to tell you that the end result of that young man is exactly what the Holy Ghost was stirring in my soul. And she's the first one that comes to me. By the way, she's well married now and has got two lovely kids. And she said, Daddy, thank you for being tough and discerning. Beloved, it's time to help these kids discern these areas of moral confusion. Number five, in times of renewing, if you turn over the page to chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, there's an interesting scripture here. In verse 9 it says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now this isn't the tabernacle proper. This is before they set up that tabernacle proper where the Levites ministered. This was a small tent that Moses put outside of the camp where Israel was camped, and the people, when they had a dispute and they wanted an answer and a resolve, they would go to Moses, who was in the tent, and he would take it before God. So here was this tent. They called it the tent of meeting. And so here was Moses in this tent of meeting this one particular time. And you've got to understand that as he comes in, everybody is standing by the entrance of their tent to see, is God still happy with us? Is God still pleased with us? Is God's presence going to come down? And as soon as they saw that cloud coming down and just resting over that tent of meeting, then everybody began to worship because it indicated that God was speaking to their leader, Moses. But there was somebody else who was in that tent of meeting. And here is this young boy, Joshua, this young man, Joshua, who is in this tent of meeting. So in times of renewing, do not rush to leave God's presence. Beloved, today, too many times church is just a necessity. It's a weekly commitment. And as we're getting longer and longer in the service, we start to look at our watches. We want to check, well, if he closes by 20 till, he'll probably end his altar call by 45 till. By 10 till I can be out. By 5 till I can get my car and be the first one to get my car and be gone. You see, it's true that many of us, we are raising a generation of our children to see God as a once a week necessity. This is something that we just do. But here we have a young man who lingers in the presence of God. You got to understand that he is watching. You see the magnitude, when I was reading the scriptures and the magnitude of what is taking place, here is this man, and the Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. If we want to introduce our children to our best friend, then we'd better not see our best friend called God as a stranger. They know if your best friend is a stranger or not. How do you introduce your kids to somebody you call your best friend when you don't spend time with your friend? When we're in such a rush to leave the presence of God, we don't linger just to enjoy the presence of the Lord just a little bit longer. Let's get out. As soon as the curtain comes down, let's cut and go. And see, beloved, we're not raising up our children to enjoy the presence of God because we don't enjoy the presence of God any longer than necessary. And how about when we get home? And see, this God spoke to Moses as a friend. And that began to speak. And here is Joshua. He's watching this. He's sitting there. He's hearing. He's seeing. He's understanding that God is relating to this man, to Moses as a friend. I can understand what's going on in Joshua's heart. I can imagine him sitting there thinking, God, I want to have the same friendship that you have with Moses. I want to have that same friendship. Do our kids feel the same way when we have our devotions, or do they roll their eyes and say, oh no, here we go again? It's true. Some of our kids roll their eyes. They don't see us having a friendship with God, and they don't want to be introduced to a stranger. And this is what Joshua was seeing in this tent of meeting, was God speaking as a friend. I think that God was birthing vision and desire in his heart. He says, oh, look, God is just speaking into this man, Moses. That is what I want. You know, I remember the time when I was, my son was going through incredible times of trials in his high school. And I've shared with you before, but they had said to us on several occasions, we are not your friends. You've got to go out and get your own friends. And we've got our friends at school, and that's what they'd tell us. We'd say, come on, hang out with us. And no, you are not our friend. You're our parents. We've got our own friends. And my son was just going through this incredible time. And I remember this one, and he was getting farther and farther apart. Now remember, God showed himself as a friend to Moses. And I believe that every adult, we don't have to have our kids as our friends, but we need to show ourselves as a friend to our kids. And I think that as God did this to Moses, I remember the time, and my son was just going farther and farther and farther, and we just were so disconnected in his life. Everything was always a command. Everything was just so hard, so harsh. And I remember my wife saying to me, she said, you need to take the Bible and you need to go and read him the Word of God. And I'm thinking to myself, why do I have to go? If God spoke to you, don't you think you should go? And she said, no, you are the father of the house. You need to go up there and you need to sit down and you need to read the Word of God. This is the only way that we're going to get this kid back. And so I went upstairs. I said, okay, if that's what you think I have to do. So I went upstairs and I sat down on the bed and I told him, I said, son, your mother told me that I have to come and read the Bible to you. And so he says, well, I don't really want to read the Bible with you. I said, well, we're going to read it together anyway, because your mother told us, and we're going to do it. So I started reading the scriptures with him, and then I said, I'm going to read a passage, and then you read a passage, and we'll discuss it together and see what God is saying. And so he says, I really don't want to read with you. And I said, well, I'll start. And so I read through my passage, and already I felt this kind of knot get in my stomach about here. And it began to rise as I started reading. And he sat there with his arms folded and his head back and his eyes were rolling. And the more they rolled, the more this thing inside of me came up. It's amazing how you could be reading something and thinking another thousand different things. I'm thinking, why did his mother tell me to do this? She had the burden, let her do it, you know. And so I'm not enjoying this moment at all. And so I get to him. I say, okay, now you read the Bible. And so he goes, come on, you know. now this thing is changing the way I speak. It's hit my throat, and my wife is down there. She's probably praising God, thinking everything is going great. And here we are just about in World War IV. My throat has changed, and so I said, well, no, read. If you're going to, this, you can mock me, boy, but this is God's word, and you're not going to mock his word. Now, you read this with a little bit more of emphasis and a little bit more energy in this. So he goes, Paul, an apostle. This thing has now changed the way I see, changed the way I hear, changed the way I speak. I shut that Bible. And I said to him, I said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, now I'm not sitting on the bed, I'm standing because I'm an adult and he's a kid, and I'm in authority and he's not. And so I said to him, I read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that the Bible tells me that when we sit, when we walk, and when we lie down, the Bible, one translation says, impress this word into your children. And I said to him, I said, lie down, buddy. Today, I am going to impress this book into you. One way or another, you are going to get the Bible into your forehead. And I'm going to take this, and the Bible says, impress it into your forehead. And so he lay there with his arms folded looking at me. And he had this smile across his face that says, you're right. And so I said, okay, you're ready. So I lifted up my Bible. Her mother's downstairs praising God that everything is going well. Father is with his son enjoying wonderful fellowship in the Word, praising Jesus. And we are about at the point of murder. So I raise the Bible up, and I'm just about to bring this thing down. So he looks at me, and he's got this smirk right across his face, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to take that smirk off in one shot. And we're pastors. We're spiritual people, you see. We know how to get the word across. And so I come down. And I stopped a quarter inch from his head. And I lifted that thing up. He still had the smirk. And he said, I knew you'd never do it. And he started to laugh. And I want to tell you, that laugh was not rebellion. He was really from his gut. He had a chuckle at my expense. But at that laugh, when he laughed at me and he said, I knew you wouldn't do it, was the first crack in the door of me becoming a friend again to my son. You see, because he suddenly saw that we could be real, not religious. Real. And from that day onwards, I began to just open the scriptures day by day with him, and we formed a friendship. Wasn't great. Wasn't fantastic. I can't say we had revival next Sunday, but it was the beginning. And all God needs, this concrete can be absolutely laid outside here. But if a little seed of a tree is dropped into a little bit of dirt in a crack, it's all that is needed. And that root begins to find its way through the crack. Before long, it is heaving that concrete up. And what the devil sealed in our kids' lives as a done deal, God comes with his word and he finds one tiny crack. And he says, give me the chance to put one seed into the crack. I'll break everything that the devil has formed into his life. God will come through. He'll break up every solid place that the enemy poured concrete, and life will come about in their life. And so that began with my son as a tremendous opportunity. So at times, you know, I could have rushed. In fact, we sat and talked after that, and he began to share some things with me. But in the times of renewing, don't rush from the presence of God. Don't rush your devotions. Don't rush time. Don't rush speaking to your kids just on simple things. Don't rush when God gives you an opportunity to speak. If you're in the house, don't rush just to go get your car and move. Spend time in His presence. It's in my heart that I know that the Holy Spirit, it's in times at an altar call when people stand here and just linger in the presence of God. It might not be too much going on and maybe just a simple prayer, but it's not just a simple prayer coming from a preacher's mouth praying for people at an altar call, but it's people lingering in the presence of God at His altar. And it's in that moment of time that there have been missionaries that have been birthed. There have been great leaders that have been stirred. Because in the presence of the Lord, that's God begins to put His dreams back into hearts where the devil has come in with rebellion. God begins to put His dreams back into their hearts. He begins to put inside of them a desire to serve Him. Where do people get the desire to serve God? But in His presence. It's lingering in the presence of Almighty God that He gets this chance to speak into our hearts and into our lives. And then number six, when it comes to trust, send them with your blessing. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 34, you could just turn there in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses has died, but before he had died, and it's the last chapter in Deuteronomy, then you get Joshua. In verse 9 it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." And so Moses, you know, laid his hand. So in times of trust, he said, this young man was going to go on and lead the whole nation of Israel. But in moments of trust, it wasn't that Moses just one day, see this, we've got a whole generation going all over the world to try and find some guru who can suddenly lay their hands upon them and all of life changes in a moment of time. This is a gospel that seems to be preached that just by somebody, a man of the hour with power can lay hands on me, everything's going to be resolved. But see, it wasn't that he came to the end of his journey and Moses just laid hands upon him. I like to read it a little bit differently. Moses was a man who was there, who was a hands-on spiritual leader. That all through the life of Joshua, he was a hands-on man. It wasn't that he just laid his hands on one time and he got the spirit of wisdom. We'd all like that. That would be wonderful if someone just laid hands on us and all our problems were solved. It doesn't work that way. But it works step by step. But Moses was there and in times of trust released him with the blessing. I remember before my daddy died, I asked him, I said, I want you to write out a blessing for me. And so he wrote me this letter and it wasn't long, but he just began to write as much as he could understand a blessing. And he began to just write this blessing out for me. And there's something that is so powerful when you know that your father is wanting to bless you. And so all through Joshua's life, he sees this man, Moses, imparting the blessing of God. It's hard to release young people on, especially when there has been areas of failure. You know, when we lived in a little town in Pennsylvania, as we traveled around the country, we chose a little town because we thought we'd be free from problems. And we had more problems there than we ever had in a city. And we got this reputation because my son, we had friends who passed through and they had asked us to look after their handgun for them. And so my wife said, don't let them leave that handgun in this house. We have a policy of no guns in our household. And so anyway, I let them do it. But I hid everything around. I just hid the gun here and I put the bullets there. And so our friends went away for a couple of weeks and this handgun was hidden. And so, but kids have this strange, antennas up. Nothing is sacred in your household. They come over your house, they're pulling drawers open, they're taking a look, they're just looking at everything. You think, is nothing sacred? Nothing is sacred with kids. And I don't know how that this antenna found this gun. But he found the gun and he took it to school. He got caught. We had detectives. Fortunately, I hid the bullets away from the gun and there was no bullets in that thing. That was the thing that saved his neck from going to jail because he took it to a dance that they had. We didn't let our kids go to the school dances because we were reasonably religious. And we said, no, you couldn't take your kid to the dance. You can't go to these dances. And so we got this reputation of, oh, that's the family that don't let their kids go to the dances, but let them take guns to school. And we went through, there was detectives at our house, there was court cases, there was judges involved, he got kicked out of school for a year. Beloved, you got to understand that in the midst of this, how do you trust these kids when they fail you so bad? How do you trust them again? How do you release this boy to going into, and I see Moses releasing, we can say, well, look, Joshua was a model son. And in respect, he really was. But how do we deal with kids who do dumb things and parents who did even dumber things by keeping guns in houses? But how do you release them? But see, God, I remember Jesus reading the scriptures where Jesus, he's got these 12 disciples and it's not long in the ministry before he releases them into ministry to go lay hands on the sick and to pray for the sick and to cast out devils. And these guys had just started in ministry with it and he's releasing them. There's something that a child needs to know that irrespective of the damage that they may have done and the things, the stupidity that they may have acted out, there's something that they yearn for, something that they cry for. Can you still trust me? Well, on the basis of what you've done, no. That's what's in my heart. But I remember God speaking to my heart and saying, I want you to begin to trust Him in small areas. And so I did. I saw no physical change other than we've got this newfound communication going on. Not at a fast pace, more like a drip. The faucet is not on full. But we are communicating. And little by little, God said, now, before you see any change, start sowing seeds of trust. Trust Him with money. Even though he'll mess up, trust Him. Trust Him with your car that you babied and He wrecked. Trust Him. To this day, I want you to know that when He finally went to the military, which I was very thankful for, because the military did to him everything I wanted to do to him, but they did it legally. But when he came out of the military and he said to me, Daddy, I want to go to Nyack College and I want to do a dual major. I want to study the Bible and I want to study business. And God spoke to me and he said, this kid would never have chosen to study the Bible if you hadn't have sown the seeds of trust when he was not trustworthy. But see, that's like you and me. We're not trustworthy. We're all failures. But God trusts us with His prized possession, His own Son. And He trusts us to take His Son into our lives that's all messed up, and to live with His Son, and to allow His Son to guide us and direct our lives. And it's because God trusts us when we are untrustworthy that God says, will you do the same? And that has been the salvation. He's well married. He's got three, he's got a lovely wife, a pastor's daughter, three lovely children, and a fourth on the way. God has blessed us. Amen. This afternoon, God does want you to be a spiritual person in bad times. He does. And He wants to trust you. He wants to sow a seed of trust. In the contests of life, be there. God will be there for you. In the worship of God, lead the way. In moments of achievement, give them praise. In area of moral confusion, help them by discerning. In times of renewing, don't rush from the presence of God. When it comes to trust, send them with your blessing. Sow seeds of trust. God, and with those six stones, I believe that all rebellion will be quelled. Kept out of our homes and out of our lives. I believe it with all of my heart. Today, God wants to trust you with treasure beyond that you know that you can handle. But He wants to give it to you. A trust of a future. A trust of a ministry. A trust of a family. A trust of a relationship, young people. A trust. Before we even know there, He gives us the opportunity to walk with Him. This afternoon, I'm going to invite you, especially all our young people in the house today. You want to be a man and a woman of God. You in your heart, you do want that trust. You want people to say, could you trust me that I can make the right choices for God? And the answer is yes. We may not be able to trust your flesh, but we trust God that He'll make the right deposit in you. And He'll take you from Egypt all the way into a land full of promises, beloved. He'll do it for you. Shall we stand together? Lord Jesus, this afternoon, we're so unworthy. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we would be reprobate. Without you, God, we would be lost. We'd be in the gutter. Without you, Lord Jesus, we'd be on our way to a lost eternity, into the eternal flames of hell. That was our true destiny before Jesus Christ. And yet while we were yet enemies, Romans tells us that while we were yet enemies, untrustworthy, not knowing really our left hand from our right, you trusted us with your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person here tonight that you're going to give them dreams of a wonderful future with you, plans, a true destiny, not what others are preaching around the world, but a true destiny with Christ that's real, powerful, and full of meaning. And you're going to do that today. For every young person, male and female, every married person, every single person, every single parent, God will do this for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the annex, just get straight up and make your way down here. If this is you, you want God to put a fresh vision in your soul, just here in the balcony, just step straight out of your seats. Just start walking right now. Young people, step out and just come down through the down to this exit, down the exit to the other side. You come right now and pray, and that let God put within you a fresh touch. Just raise your hands to the Lord. We're just going to linger in His presence this afternoon. When I say linger, it just means open to Him. Lord Jesus, we just raise our hands to You today. We so recognize we are unworthy of anything from You, and it is by pure mercy and grace that You have given to us all that we are and everything that we will ever receive. It's because You, out of grace and mercy, bestow it upon us. Now, Lord, at this altar this afternoon, as Your people are here in Your presence, just feasting on You, it's not the message, it's not the speaker, it's Jesus. And Lord, as they just linger in Your presence, they see You ministering, touching, healing, speaking. Lord Jesus, this is for them. This is for every one of these. It's a drop in the bucket to give every person in this house fulfillment and strength and grace and mercy and direction and destiny and an opportunity and hope. It's nothing to God. He is not depleted in strength. He hasn't run out of love. His grace and His mercy is so sufficient for you right now. And I know in my heart that Joshua, seeing Moses, living, talking, relating with God, said in his heart, God, that's what I want. A walk with You, where You talk to me, You speak to me, You relate to me as friend with friend. I know He said that. I know it. That's why He lingered. That's why He was there. He stayed. He says, I want the same. And Lord, this is my prayer for every person at this altar today. I know that's their heart as well. I know it. That's why they're here today. And You will give it to them. Because You love them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.